So let's begin today. Om Jnana Timiran Vasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Raksuram Mutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhushtam Vapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Yadati Sapadantitam. Vamsha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Dayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadhi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yuda? Okay. I'll be right with you. You have it there? Oh, okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, great. Okay, thank you all. We haven't really yet designated a particular class. I'm in transition. I don't have my book. I have just a few books. So on Wednesday, until I get back to Vrindavan, which is another week and a half or two, I'm going to, at least for the next class, just give a review and speak on things that I have been speaking on. And I'm in Mayapur. It's wonderful here. And I give class every day, and it's edifying. I mean, people are coming every day, and the numbers are increasing, and you develop very wonderful relationships, because one of the loving relationships is Guyam Adyachi Prichati, that you give knowledge and inquire. And when you create that atmosphere, it's a very, very loving, spiritual atmosphere, meeting many, many new friends. And it's just a very, very wonderful community. It's just, you know, it's the whole... Right now, I'm giving class in what they call the Grihastha community, because I come here every day to do my puja, my duties in Yugala Pati's house. I'll do the puja after this. It seems I have a little stuffed up, so excuse me. And wonderful, you know, just so many devotees. It's really nice. Yesterday they had the Pushpabhishek, the Radhanamada deities in flower outfits, and that was also nice. And coming to the Dham means to meet the saints and the sages that live in the Dham. And there are some people that are obscure but are really advanced. There's one person I know here that lasts 15 years. On the property, he lives in a little kind of hut, mud hut. And it's obscure. It's in the corner. No one can know where he is. And he does some service here. He is very, you know, there are sages. There are traditional sages. It's wonderful to see. That's why Samskar is past impressions. You know, people who are of days of yore are still here today. They're rare, but you can see them. So I like Mayapur because, you know, when I go to take breakfast or something, take a nice little walk, and I walk through the fields, and he was riding by on the bicycle and then passed me and then stopped because we're old friends. And he's very, very quiet and very, very humble. And he's from Europe. And we began to talk. And, you know, you can get such inspiration. And somehow I asked him if he knew this other friend of mine who was from a similar place as him. And he said, yes, that he was here last year. And he explained that my friend was here last year. For 30 days, he only drank Ganga water and chanted the holy name. And my friend who had, one friend that lives here, the one who was visiting, he's very unassuming. He's lived without, he's given away all his possessions, and he lives with no money. He just depends on the grace of God. And he travels around India, and he's become a Sanskrit scholar. He knows Bengali, he knows Hindi, astrology, and music. He just keeps on, he studied so deeply the Bhagavatam. And after traveling around and meeting saints, you know, from Ayodhya to Hardwar to Bengal, it was reaffirmed again and again that the essence of all religion is to chant the holy name of Krishna, to chant the holy name. So after 15 years of study, that's what my friend, you know, the person visiting, and just not just drinking. He said, yep, this other person that lives here told me he's done that several times, take a month breakfast to just drink water from the Ganga, to just sit and chant the holy name. And then this other friend that lives here that's really humble and unassuming said that he was also influenced by that. He was also influenced by that. And he said, I gave up my phone. People just talking nonsense and bother you. You know, and I said, you're chanting more. He said, I'm very, very much influenced. That's why I'm also chanting more. And we talked, and such taste comes. So it's nice to see the embodiment of the spiritual practices that people take. Sure, he's doing service, he's taking shelter fully in the holy name. So that's the glory of the Dham, that you may meet people that have some type of dedication. And I have been talking in the my class, and it's really nice to talk every day to a contiguous audience. You know, so it'd be 2 weeks, it'd be 14 classes. And speaking on Krishna Lila. And it's such a devotional to the wives of the Brahmins, because basically they have similar determination to the gopis. Because they become attracted to Krishna. And that attraction to Krishna overcame even the resistance of their husbands and families who forbid them to go to Krishna. And they were such aristocratic Brahmin ladies that even the sun never touched them. In other words, they were so high that no one except their husbands ever saw them. Prabhupada's mother was like that. When she would go outside, she would ride in a palanquin. Kind of, you know, Prabhupada described that. It covered it. No, so for a woman like that, if there's resistance for even the son seeing her, for a woman like that to leave home, what resistance she must have had. And how did that devotion develop in her heart? Because Harikatha, hearing about Krishna, became the ornament of their ears. The ornament of their ears, just like the lady may wear beautiful earrings. It's always there. They're always there, decorating the ornament of the ear. The ornament of the ear is Harikatha. And by hearing that, their eagerness and desire for Krishna arose to the highest degree. And that's the process. Continually chanting the holy name of Krishna, or hoping that one day we may have the opportunity to do so. And the more we pray like that, the more that opportunity will come. So they left everything, and they came to Krishna. And if they're just chanting and hearing about Krishna, and how did they get that devotion, that association with the Brijvasis, the flower girls? Because they're Brahmin's wives, so sometimes they may have gone out. And they may have gotten flowers for their husband's deities or fruit for the offering. And then there would be flower girls or simple people selling fruits who were in Vrindavan who love Krishna. They would always talk with devotion about Krishna. And by that talking of devotion about Krishna, and they would hear that, the ears are the gateway to the heart. There's no other way to get to the heart but through the ears. Of course, you get there through the eyes too, and other senses, but especially by the ears. And when they heard that Harikatha about Krishna, their devotion increased to such a level. And then Krishna came to them and offered to see the cowherd boys. But Krishna is nearby and he's hungry. They were given service to the object of their love. And how much that increased their devotion. One second, there's some noise here. Can't figure out what the noise is. And how much that increased their devotion. And then they ran. First, because they cooked four types of food stuff and had this incredible expression of love in terms of fragrance and taste, that Krishna could actually, with his senses, experience their love. And then he, there's just some noise here. I don't know, it's some waterfall or water running here. Then he ran to the Krishna, and they ran and there could be no obstructions because it's bhakti. Well, there could be obstructions, but not in their bhakti. And that's always described beautifully, like the water that flows to the sea. You can't stop it. You can temporarily divert it, but you can't stop it. It's going to move forward. And bhakti is like that. It moves. And then they come to the Jamuna, and they see They just heard previously, they see Krishna strolling on the bank of the Jamuna amidst the gardens that are decorated with Ashoka trees. And they see his golden garments and his dark blue complexion. And they see the decoration of the Vajrayantamala. And they see that he walks like a dramatic dancer. And they finally get to approach Krishna. And then they get darshan. And what is darshan? Darshan means that Krishna is actually the seer. It's seen by Krishna. And what Krishna sees is not just the form. Krishna sees the heart. And Krishna sees their wonderful, beautiful heart that had given up all hopes for anything else. Krishna. And Krishna is so pleased. He says, Svagatam. Welcome and welcome with auspiciousness because your life is so perfect. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? There's nothing I really can do. I cannot repay you. But then a very interesting thing happens. The Lila Shakti, which rules Vrindavan, the Lila Shakti rules all other Shaktis in Vrindavan. Because the Lila Shakti makes the circumstances of love perfect. Hare Krishna, I'm back. I have a friendly voice there again. Hello?
Haribol Maharaj, you're back on.
Okay, who's that, Chris?
Yeah, that's Chris.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I guess we haven't perfected the technology yet. I have no idea why the phone is disconnected, but I'll speak a little bit longer. So they see Krishna on the bank of the Jamuna. And then the Lila Shakti, somehow for the pastime, for the wives of the Brahmins to go back, Krishna manifests his Aishwarya. In other words, the Lila Shakti covers the intimate parts of Krishna's personality so that he can remain distant and majestic. And he speaks in a very formal way to them. He says, you know, your devotion is fitting because it's direct and it has no obstacle. And what's the obstacle in devotion? The obstacle in devotion is if your devotion is done with any desire of karma, material benefit, or jnana, liberation. Even a desire to become peaceful. Any personal desire, it's an obstacle to the fortune flow of devotion. Vrindavan is not about peace. Vrindavan is about love, which ultimately brings the highest peace. The lady who helps me in Vrindavan, and Chris knows because he took so good care of her, his family, and over down last year, I believe, and she's great. She takes care of the different people for me. Great personality. So she took out one group, and she just wanted to go on a boat in the Jamuna and just sit and chant alone. If she was sitting on the boat, and the boatman from the next boat had a full boat, said, come on our boat, come on our boat. He said, no, no, I just want to sit here. She said, no, come, why, come, come. She said, I want to be peaceful. I want to be peaceful. And the boatman laughed and said, peaceful? Then you worship Narayan. There's no peace in Vrindavan. Not about peace, it's about love. And of course, love is ultimately the highest peace. But somehow or other, Krishna told them, you go back. I'm not going to tell the whole story now, but he said, you know, you go back. You go back now. And the first he tells them that your devotion is a holistic. It has no obstacles. And it's direct, and therefore I am pleased. In fact, when Krishna took the darshan, when Krishna actually saw them, he smiled. He was happy with their devotion. The objective of life is actually to please God. To put a smile on God's face. And when you go before the deities, you're praying and hoping that that's what you should do. You go before the deities. Let him see your heart. What do you want? Do you want to actually please Krishna? That's love in your heart. That means there's no other person concerned about that. It's an advantage, actually. We love Krishna. We just want to please Krishna. And if we do that, he smiles. Because that's his happiness. His happiness is his love. And then somehow after that, Krishna somehow tells them to go back. And there's an argument that pursues, basically. But because he's invoked some reverence within them, and naturally they are aristocratic Brahmin ladies, they're very cultured. They somehow, unlike the gopis, heed his advice, especially when he tells them that there has to be a limit. Dancing with the gopis is one thing, but dancing with the aristocratic wives with Brahmins in the middle of the night, I mean, this would not look good. And anyway, what really pleases me is not physical proximity, but devotional consciousness, wherever you are, which comes from chanting and hearing and seeing the deity and worshiping it. That's what really pleases me. Especially when it's done in the deep mode of separation. So now you go back, and somehow they exceed it. Very interesting point, because initially when they're told to go back, they say in the exact same words, it's actually the same line that the gopis initially responded to Krishna. How can you act so cruelly? How can you speak such cruel words? You've thrown ourselves at your lotus feet, and we are moving in that direction. How can you tell us to go in another direction now? Our husbands will kill us, actually speaking, if we go back. They will kill us. We have no other shelter but you. And Nigama, the Vedas say that when one takes shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, he never returns. Why are you asking us to return? Why are you asking us to return? Okay. We're aristocratic Brahmins. But we're not. We gave up our relationship. We gave up the bodily platform. We gave up the bodily concept of life. We gave up the bodily concept of life. And okay, we're not gopis, so we can't be directly with you. We will stay in the forest and get the crushed pulses that have been kicked by your latest feet, that have fallen on the floor when you've embraced the gopis. So just keep them in our heads. Just give us some connection. Anyway, they went back, and when they went back, they saw a miraculous thing. When they went back, they started to tell one gopi who was held back, who couldn't ever achieve the physical proximity of Krishna. And when they started to describe what it was like to see Krishna, they accepted that into the core of their heart. They accepted that into the core of their heart. And then left their body to eternally achieve the supreme destination, showing that the highest thing is consciousness. Connection with Krishna is consciousness. It's not physical proximity. And if Krishna manifests his form, that's only to inspire our consciousness. And if Krishna withdraws his form, that's also to inspire our consciousness, just like Narada Muni. Just like with Narada Muni. He saw Krishna to inspire his consciousness, and then Krishna withdrew to inspire his consciousness. The segments of separation and union. Okay, that's what I can give for today. A little short, but I am willing to answer any questions. Anybody like to ask any questions? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, my name is Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay. Who's that?
Gail.
Gail. Gail, how ironic. The day where I have time for cursed questions, you don't have any.
Mm.
Okay. That's nice. Okay. I'll take 5 more minutes of something else, and then if anybody else wants to say hello, and then we'll go. So nice that the Brahmins, it became very evident to them who their wives were. And being with a great devotee can hold up a mirror to your own soul. We can see ourselves in comparison. Somehow or other, we see they were proud, and therefore they couldn't take advantage. But somehow this circumstance or situation diminished their pride. And it diminished their pride, the association, the influence, Mahabhagavat wise. They could actually perceive who they were, perceive who they were in comparison. So they began to awaken their Krishna consciousness and they understood that Krishna was God. And then because they had refused the direct supplication of God, they felt terribly remorseful. And the word for remorse is also tapa. Tapa means, oh, maybe, I don't know, maybe I got the only short syllables, but I believe it's the same word, because remorse means that you let your faults burn your false ego. Remorse means you let your faults burn your false ego. And how they burn your false ego? Because your false ego says, I am the controller and enjoyer, and your faults say, you are not. And generally, it's very difficult for us to admit our fault. It's somehow feeling so bad because they quit the other side, they sinned so badly by turning away from God. They were able to accept their faults with contrition and let it burn their faults either. This is the beginning of spiritual life, because initiation is pancha samskara. Pancha samskara means, first it means tapa. It has to be regret of the life lived in false ego. And it has to be the austerity of actually embracing that. And then one accepts pondering. The identification as a devotee, the markings that I belong to Krishna, I belong to the Sampradaya. And then nam, meaning one spiritual name is there, and the holy name is given. Holy name is independent, doesn't require initiation. But at the same time, the commitment, and specifically in relationship to Diksha, the worship of the deity, regulates and purifies their life from the sinful activities that will create a breeding ground of offense to the holy name. And then there's mantra, and then there's vidya, there's worship. So they're becoming prepared for initiation. And as we can see, not everyone takes the opportunity of initiation in the same way. The real initiation is that surrender, which attracts Krishna's mercy and the flow of love through the Guru Prabhupada one's heart. Okay, that's about it for today. It's a little awkward here with my schedule here. I have a few things that I just have to do in the morning, just by the way things work out. But if anybody else would like to say hello, I know at least Lippy and Gail and Chris are there. Anybody else? I know there are more people because I see when Lippy sends me the conference center, but anybody else like to say hello? And anyway, who's ever listening, I really feel indebted. I just like I'm in my class today. When I'm in my class, there's certain people that come every single day. And they're sitting in the front, and they're relishing, and they're smiling. And their eagerness, which is expressed through their smiles and their hearts, it's a kind of magnet that draws out the realizations in my heart, or it's a magnet that attracts a super soul to speak through me. So I'm always indebted to the people who are listening, so thank you very much. I'll go on my day, and if you have today and tomorrow in Mayapur. I'm already feeling the separation from the Mayapur and the devotees here. And then I go to Puri, and it really looks like it's a wonderful, wonderful yatra. Just so many people, good people, really want to come. And they're just somehow making it down there. And I expect some really wonderful kirtans. And Kinchana Krishna somehow feels inspired to put on some drama. And we'll have a kirtan day. Okay, Hare Krishna. All right,